This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, for some time now, brethren, we have been talking about building godly home. We've been talking about building godly home, and God has been speaking to us expressly about our home. And I know that the God that has begun a good work in us, he will surely complete that work he has started in our homes. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And we remember when we spoke about Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. When we read that, that says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. A good person, that is, it could be either of the parents, it could be grandparents, it could be a good person, it could be anybody, leaves an inheritance for their children. And we mentioned that the inheritance does not have to be the money, it doesn't have to be house, it doesn't have to be property. The inheritance can be all those things, but the most important one is when we leave Jesus for our children, when we put them in the line of God, when we let them know God for themselves. Because when somebody knows God for themselves, then it is difficult for all the doctrines of life to begin to toss them here and there. So because they've known God for themselves. And it's not only a family where you have only father and mother. I know there are some family that's only one parent. And I know that God himself is building those family as well. And we have testimonies of how God has helped a lot of family with one parent that's to raise fantastic, vibrant, godly children. And I know that it's only God that can do it. And that's why this Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord build the house, its builders works for nothing. You know, remember we read that as well, that unless the Lord build the house, the builders, they work for nothing. What they're working for is nothing. It is only God that builds the house. Whether the two parents are there, whether it's only one parent for one reason or the other, it's only God that builds the house. So, and that's the God that we need 100% to rely on. And that's the God that can help us through the thick and thin of life. And I will remember last week we spoke about the family of Eli and the family of Samuel. You know, the difference between both of them. You know, both of them, they did not, their children let both fathers down. But in the case of Eli, he received a far sterner punishment from God. But Samuel did the same thing, but he didn't get as much punishment that Eli got. But what's that saying to us? That as children of God, we are all kings and priests in our home. So building our children is very, very important. Raising our children in the way of God is very, very important. It's very, very key. So we cannot leave our children in the hands of teachers alone, in the hands of outsiders or neighbors. Our children is our responsibility to look after. We cannot leave our children in the hands of the government alone to look after. You know, our primary responsibility is to look after them, is to make sure we train them in the way of the Lord and get a recommendation, the same recommendation that Abraham got from God. That God was talking about Abraham, that God said he trusted Abraham, that he will teach his children in the way of the Lord. And my prayer is that that same recommendation will be applicable for you and I in the mighty name of Jesus. Our children will not be wayward. In the mighty name of Jesus, the way the children of Eli was, children of Samuel was eventually, in the name that is above every other name, our children will not follow the same pattern. In the mighty name of Jesus, our children will follow the pattern of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to be talking about conflict resolution at home. You know, how to resolve conflict, whether we like it or not. There will always be conflict. There will be conflict between husband and wife. There will be conflict between husband and the children, between the father and the children, between the mother and the children, you know, there will be conflict. So it is important for us to know. There are a lot of ways to resolve all this, but I just have some few scriptures to point us in some direction as well. Numerous ways that God is using in different homes. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, remember this Sermon at the Mount when Jesus was saying, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, for they shall be called sons of God. In another version, Good News version says, happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy. are those people that walk for peace. They say God will call them his children. You know, the Message version says, you are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You know, it is important that God help us to be able to resolve conflict, to be able to resolve fight, to be able to resolve whatever it is that is happening at home. Because if we don't, that is what everybody in that family will take outside. You know, that is what the children will take outside. That is what the man will take outside and the wife will take outside. So it is important when there is conflict that we pray to God, we learn how to make sure we resolve them. You know, this Message version says you are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That is, God has called us to be able to lead people, to show people how to cooperate instead of to become competing or to fight. No, it is our responsibility as parents at home to make sure that we handle every situation, every quarrels, every fight correct. There will be conflict. No, there will be times that things will not agree on matter. It is part and parcel of who we are as human beings. But we must learn, and we must learn how to be able to walk through this conflict, to be able to get to where God wants us to get to. Remember again in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, New King James versions. Yeah, that's not New King James Version. Okay, we'll go to NLT version. NLT version says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That's New Living Translation. Say, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. If you've got it in you, Message version says, get along with everybody. You know, that is, what that is saying is that ultimately, what God wants for us is to ensure that we live at peace with one another, that we make do everything possible. He says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, this is what Paul was admonishing the people of Romans. You know, he admonished them that they should behave like a Christian, that our behavior should be like a Christian. Even at home, when we are having conflict among ourselves, it should be like Christians. We should think like Christians. And in verse 9, when we have time, let's read it. In verse 9 of that Romans chapter 12, he was talking there. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. That when you say you love someone, it shouldn't be without hypocrisy. It should be genuine. It should be genuine. You know, love should be genuine. Can everybody hear me? Yeah, I believe so. So love should be genuine among us. In verse 14 of that Romans chapter 12, verse 14 of that Romans 12 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. He said, bless those people who will persecute you. Things will happen. So Apostle Paul was admonishing us that we should bless those who persecute us. He said we should bless them and do not curse. You know, we are told to follow in the footsteps, in the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is important we do exactly what Jesus did. You know, Jesus did. He prayed for his enemy at the cross. Jesus prayed for them. So when people curse us, you know, the Bible is saying, Apostle Paul reminded the people of Romans, and I believe it's applicable to us too, that we should bless people who persecute us. We should bless and not curse them. And not say, your head is this, your head is that, your head is... No. That's not what the Lord wants from a Christian man or from a Christian home. We should bless them. You know, what we say out of our mouth is important. That's why parents, we need to be very careful what we say. You know, when our children sometimes got us angry, you know, the next thing we do is we say things that we should not be saying. We say things like curses, things that could, you know, I was watching a play, a Christian play one day, was it last week or sometimes ago. You know, as a parent was talking, there was a devil in the show, a devil who was there. And no, was he a parent? No, it was some people that was in the play. As they were making some negative remarks about themselves, That devil was just saying amen to whatever it is they declared. And those things throughout their life, it followed them until they got deliverance from it. So it is important we watch what we say. He said that in this version, verse 14, says we should bless and not curse. In verse 16, he also says that be of the same mind toward one another. In the family, we want us to be united. And my prayer is that God himself will continue to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. In verse 17 of that same Romans 12, it says, repay no one evil for evil. That we should repay no one evil for evil. Before it now go to verse 18, where it says that we should do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. And that's a mandate for every Christian. My prayer is that God himself will continue to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So things that unresolved conflict can do, sometimes it hinders prayer. Unresolved conflict, if there's a conflict between a man and woman in that family, then it's difficult for them to pray together. I'm sure some of us have experienced that. Even if you try to pray, the prayer will not flow at all. You'll just be murmuring through the prayer. One person will be saying amen loudly. The other person will not even say amen at all. And that's why it is important to resolve every conflict. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if there's any issue between husband and wife, any issue between parents and children, they must be resolved. Basically, here, Apostle Peter was talking to the husband, to the men here, that we should make sure that we deal with our wife as unto the weaker vessel. It says, as being here together. Not that because they are weak or anything, but we know in some areas, they may not be able to have the same kind of patience that we have. So God is saying that we should deal with them, you know, in a manner when we know that, in this area, my wife is weak in this area. We should be very understanding. So that, because if we don't do that, it might hinder our prayer. And believe me, the same thing goes to the wife as well. The same thing goes to everybody in the family. No, number two, it says, it means the person do not love God. That is, things that unresolved conflict can be. If there's a conflict and that conflict is not resolved, it could mean that person does not love God. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You know, we say we love God, and the brother that we can see, even our family member, we're hating them. My prayer is that, you know, because hate is a very, very strong thing. My prayer is that we will not hate one another in the mighty name of Jesus. That's why it is important we watch even what we say. Sometimes when we are angry, we say, oh, I hate you. Those are not the words that should be coming out of our mouth. So if we say we love God, we must continue to love one another. You know, that is a test to show whether we love God or not. You know, unrighteous living. James 3:18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That is, people who make peace, they sow the seed, the fruit of righteousness. In other words, if you don't make peace, if you don't sow peace, then we are living an unrighteous life. And you know, Jesus has bought us with a price. He paid that price so that you and I can be righteous. So if we are not living in peace, then we need to check ourselves. You know, those are the things that unresolved conflict can cause. That's why when there is conflict, we need to ensure that we bring everything to the table quickly and make sure we preach peace. Make sure we speak peace to one another. So communication becomes strained. Remember in 1 Kings chapter 1, 5 to 6. 1 Kings chapter 1, 5 to 6. You know, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 15 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why have you done so? It's also very good looking. His mother had born him after absolute. You see that? You know, that's why, you know, one of the things we spoke last week was not to be an indulgent parent. You know, David here was clearly very indulgent, just accepting everything thrown at him. You know, he did the same thing for with Absalom. When Absalom did the same thing, he did not put his foot down and say, no, there's no way you can do this. You know, he left him alone. The same thing, Absalom's brother Adonijah, too, went ahead and do the same thing. See, yet, the Bible recorded that David did nothing. He did nothing. So it is important that we communicate in our home. It is important that we communicate anytime there is unresolved conflict. Because if we don't, we'll just find ourselves, the gap begin to widen. You know, so the best bet is to continue to communicate. So what that can happen, what effect that can have if you don't resolve the conflict on time is that it can put strain in the communication. And then it can lead to a broken home. You saw that in what we just read. It happened when during the time of Absalom, now during the time of Adonijah. His family was completely broken. Completely broken. The family of Eli as well. You remember in 1 Samuel 2, 27 to 30, God's verdict on Eli's family. Completely broken family. You know, all these things, we are saying them so that we can learn, we can know what God wants us to learn. We too, that we should not make the same mistake that these people made. That we should learn from all these their mistakes so that it shall be well with us and our homes in the mighty name of Jesus. So hints on how to resolve conflict at home. Hints. Just some hints. Number one, James 1:5, that pray for God's help and wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If anyone will need God's help and wisdom on how to resolve conflict at home. Because when conflict is properly resolved at home, believe me, everything you do outside, you know, will just be a walkover. You know, because God will help you to be able to even resolve more conflict at home, at your place of work. Sometimes some of us, we dread going to work. Why? Because we are afraid to resolve the conflict we have at home. Sometimes we are afraid to resolve the conflict properly. So in a way, we now carry it and take it to work. So every place we go to work, we always have difficulties, issues. So may God continue to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we need to pray for help and wisdom for God to lead us on how to resolve this conflict. Some conflict can be very complicated. So we need God's help, 100%. So open communication line. So that is important. It is important we should learn from David, learn from the downfall of David's family, Eli's family, Samuel's family. Communication between husband and wife, between parents and children is very, very important. We should communicate about anything. Because when communication is ongoing, then everybody will know where they are. Then we can know how to help one another. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, 23-24, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Just talking about communication here. Leave the gift there. Go back to that person. Go and reconcile. Go and talk. Talk about it. If you need to apologize, apologize. If you need to say it in love, how you felt, say it. So it is important. May God help us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm rushing now. He says, be willing to apologize. Yeah, that's James 4:1. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. So most of this problem comes because of, most times we want to have our own way. As husband, I want to have my own way. The wife will say, yes, no, I'm not going to back down. The children will say, no, that's not what I want, Dad. I want this. Most of the time, because we want to have our own way. So when we realize that to resolve the conflict, please, can we mute the people at the back end? Can we mute that? Yeah, thank you. So when we recognize that, so it is important that we apologize. When we go to somebody who want to resolve a conflict, we should just go there with a very humble heart. humility to say, look, I know where I've done wrong. We shouldn't go to the other person and immediately the first thing we say is accusing them of what they have done. I've done that a lot in the past, and it hasn't worked. So I think the best thing, the best way to go about it is, first of all, just bring out your own where your own fault is first. Talk about it, and if necessary, apologize. Apologize about it. No, and another point is we should show deep love for each other. First Peter 4, it says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred tears up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. So when we love each other deeply, it covers multitude of sins. Sometimes we don't even see the sin. That's why when people are cutting each other, you know, it's difficult to see fault when you are still cutting your wife to be your husband to be. That time it's difficult to pick faults, to pick fault from one another, because the love is so all those love covers the face there. But by the time you now start living with each other, you now begin to see the fault. But if there's a deep love, the real and happy love of God, it will cover it. And we need to continue to strive for this. And may God continue to help us as we do this in the mighty name of Jesus. And another point, lastly, I think, is to forgive each other easily. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your father will not forgive your sins. That's simple. That's self-explanatory. So it is important in the home for conflict resolution, for forgiveness to be done easily. Make sure you get to the point where it is easy for you to forgive the other person, no matter what they may do. It is important. My prayer today is that God himself will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So in conclusion, Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Without holiness, no one will seek the Lord. That we should make every effort, do everything possible, endeavor, do everything in your power to make sure you live at peace, in peace with everyone. It is important. And because we are children of God, you know, when we come to church, it's easy for us to live in peace with one another. When we go to work, it is easy. Even it will now translate to the nation. My prayer is that God himself will continue to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's pray. Let's bow down our head. I'm just going to make an altar call now. If there's anyone who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, who what I'm saying now may not really, really make any sense to, and saying that, Lord, I need your help. I need you in my relationship. I need you in my family. At no time have I even made that commitment to say, Lord, I give my life to you. This is another opportunity right now to do that. So please, if you are listening to me and you have not given your life to Christ, please go on your knees and just begin to pray to God. Ask God to come into your heart today. Ask God to come into your home today. Ask God to do everything that only him can do in your home and in your life. Ask God that because you have given your life to him today, that everything will begin to work for your good in the mighty name of Jesus, that it shall be well with you for life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. We return all the praise back to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. And the rest of us, well, we didn't want many. Let's just pray this prayer. Let's say, Heavenly Father, say thank you for building my home by your help. Let's begin to thank God for the way God has been building our home by his help. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the way that you have been building my home by your help. I honor you, O Lord. I adore you. I magnify your name, O Lord. Glory be to your name, O Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for building my home by your help, for building the home of everyone listening to me, for every member of Redding Tabernacle by your help. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say, Heavenly Father, you are Jehovah Shalom. Let there be peace in my home. In the mighty name of Jesus, please pray. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are Jehovah Shalom. You are the Prince of Peace. Let there be peace in my home, in the mighty name of Jesus. Cause there to be peace in every home, O Lord, of every member of Prayer Tabernacle. I decree peace into the life of everyone, into the life of the husband, the wives, the children, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, so shall it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's say, Heavenly Father, you are Jehovah Rapha. Heal and restore every broken home in our church, community, and nations. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Jehovah Rapha, our great healer, that you will heal and restore every broken home in our church, every home that is experiencing difficulties. You will heal and restore in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of our church, in our community, and in our nations, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for answer to our prayers. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208 688 466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.